for the long run. The minutes and the years. I'm in it for the long run. The hours and the days. I'm in it for the long run. The laughter and the tears. I'm in it for the long run. Even though you're far away.
Well, hello there. This is Jim Rooney, and I'm still in it for the long run. Welcome back to this series of programs where we're trolling through my more than 60 years in the musical world. And today we're going to be spending some time with my dear friend Artie McGlynn, who just passed away very recently. I've had a lot of fun with Artie over the last 20 years. I got to know him through the artist Sean Kane. And we worked together on three of Sean's albums, another album with Charlie Lansborough. He came to Nashville, played with me, and also whenever I go to Ireland for the last 10 or 15 years, I've always wound up playing with Artie McGlynn and Mick Daly, and I'm going to miss him a lot. He's a very unusual fellow and a lovely, beautiful guitarist. And so we're going to spend some time listening to his work. And the guitar was not a welcome instrument in Irish traditional music. It just didn't exist. It was fiddle and flute at the beginning, and then the various forms of box. They call it the box, like a concertina or a melodeon mostly, and not the big accordion. By and large, but the guitar wasn't around, and Artie McGlynn changed all that. In 1979, he made a solo album on acoustic guitar called McGlynn's Fancy, and similar to my friend Bill Keith on the banjo, Artie just opened it up to people to play these tunes on the guitar. And let's start off right away with a bunch of jigs. Here we go.
Thank you.
Oh, isn't that great? I think it's just fantastic playing. And those are some jigs. Sonny Brogan's Fancy, Brian O'Lynn, and Ben Kiley's Delight. I love the names of these tunes. And, you know, you can ask a lot of players, where the names come from, and nobody has much of an idea. Once in a while, there are new tunes that would be made up and somebody would know the name of the person it's named after. But I just love those tunes. And as I said, this album came out in 1979, and it really changed the way people thought about the guitar. It wasn't too welcome at the time in sessions, and Artie changed that because he could play the melodies so beautifully. He had a long background before he started playing acoustic traditional music. He's from Omagh in Northern Ireland, and at the age of one thing we weren't aware of, at least I wasn't, during the Second World War and the aftermath of the Second World War, the armed forces in England and Europe had a radio network, the Armed Forces Radio Network, and they played a lot of American music on there, jazz, blues, rhythm and blues, and country music. And Artie was able, there was some kind of a base up there in Northern Ireland, part of the British establishment, and he was listening to the radio, and he soaked up a lot of music at a very early age. He had traditional music in his family, but this is the music of on the radio. He heard the blues and the country stuff and jazz. He liked it all. And at the age of 14, he started playing professionally in what they call show bands in Ireland. These were enormously popular bands that played in big ballrooms for a couple of thousand people to dance all over Ireland and the United Kingdom. And so he started right there at the age of 14. He did that for 18 years. He played electric guitar and pedal steel guitar eventually. And then he went to work for Van Morrison, worked in Van's band for about 7 years and became the band leader. And so that was what was going on in his life until by accident. He was home in Omagh. There was going to be a benefit at the local hall for something, and they asked him to come down and play a couple of tunes. So he did, and one of the people there was the playwright Brian Friel. He's a well-known playwright in Ireland and this country. He had a big hit in this country with Philadelphia Story. At any rate, Brian Friel approached him, and the next thing he knew, he was being introduced to another fellow up there in Northern Ireland, good friend of Seamus Heaney's, the poet named David Hammond. And David Hammond heard Artie play these tunes, and he encouraged him to make an album. And that's how it all got started. So let's hear some more music here. That's enough background for now. Here's some reels. And what do we got? The Floating Crowbar and the Star of Munster. Thank you. goodness, it's just flying, just absolutely flying. That he has just such a definite tone on the strings. There's no doubt about it when he puts his fingers down on a string. And it's very, very clear, very firm, very definite, and totally with it, you know, and rhythmically right on the money. I just can't get enough of his playing. And so there's some reels there, and we had some jigs. And so you, in the repertoire, there's always jigs, reels, and airs, pretty much. And the airs are these very beautiful, slow melodies, very quiet and simple and direct. And here's one of the best-known ones called The Blackbird. The Blackbird. And there you, Artie's providing his own accompaniment. You know, he was no stranger to recording when he did this, 1979. After all, he'd been with Van Morrison for several years and did a lot of recording with Van while he was with Van. And even a couple of the show bands he was in, he actually went to Nashville with one of them and recorded there. And he knew after, because he just loved to listen to jazz. He loved people like Coleman Hawkins and Illinois Jacquet and kind of the mainstream jazz of the 30s and the 40s. And he knew the fretboard backwards and forwards, and he could make what he called them shapes. We call them chords, but he would say he knew all the shapes on the fingerboard, and he was a beautiful accompanist. And that's you get a sense of that with that particular song here. Another source of material for all the traditional players was the music of the great harpist, blind harpist from the 18th century, O'Carolan. And here's one called Carolan's Draft. That's just absolutely beautiful. That's Carolan's Draft from the great Irish harpist O'Carolan, who is obviously a classically influenced writer. And there's lots and lots of tunes that he left behind and that everybody loves to play. And it is, you can almost have a bit of Bach overtones there. And it just... there's a settled quality to Artie's playing when he's playing that kind of material. It is absolutely calm and focused. And when you would look at him playing, his whole demeanor when playing this material was calm and focused and very intent. And he wasn't a showman in any way, although he could be very, very funny. He could introduce tunes in a very funny way and then settle in and give it an absolutely focused performance. Now, in the course of time, he just had established himself in this new area of traditional music, but he wasn't going to abandon his roots back playing electric guitar. And this is one of my favorites. He made an album with his second wife. His first wife, Phyllis, died. And eventually he and a wonderful, brilliant fiddler named Nellie Casey got together, got married, and worked together until the end of Artie's life. And this particular tune is on an album they made called Leading the Knave, you know, as in cards, lead with a jack. And this particular one doesn't really feature Nellie. It's all Artie on the Telecaster. And this is called, what is this called? Lead the Knave and Bunker Hill. Thank you. Bunker Hill. That's the second tune. And what was the first one? Lead the Knave, which was the title of this album that he and his wife Nellie made. But that's all already there. And he was a master in the studio. He could put down at least two guitars, and in that case, three. And he would just... It was very fast, and just the kind of guy I like in the studio. He didn't take a lot of time. He was ready when it was challenging to many an engineer to be ready when Artie was ready, because he was ready. And he would just say, well, let's go knock it down. Knock down a tune. And he would knock it down all right. And let's listen now. Nellie Casey is a great, great, wonderful fiddler. And they were a great pair, must say, musically and in every other way. And here's a tune that features her as well as Artie. It's called Brady Set. Brady's Set with Nellie Casey and Artie McGlynn. And my wife Carol became very infatuated with this album, and one song in particular called Cape Clear. And she used it in several of her Flock performances. And it's primarily focusing on Nellie, but it is also Artie McGlynn at his best as an accompanist. It's just beautiful. Here it is, Cape Clear.
Thank you.
That is absolutely gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous and flawless playing by both Nellie Casey and Artie McGlynn. It never fails to move me, that song. That's called Cape Clear. Well, let's listen to a couple more from this album called Leading the Knave. And it's just a great, great collection. This is called The Hunter's Purse. They go into the distance. That's Artie McGlynn with The Hunter's Purse, and Nellie Casey, of course. And so, you see, Irish traditional music was not standing still at this time. In the 80s and 90s, it was a lot of all fronts. It was developing and modernizing and experimenting, and that's a sign of a lively music. It's a music that's alive. It's not just an amber. They're definitely traditionalists. These people know the tunes backwards and forwards, but they wanted to bring it forward, and that's what I liked about Artie. He had it all that way. And so I met Artie in 1998 when I went to Ireland, and I had heard an album by Sean Kane, Dolores' brother Sean, and Artie had a hand in producing it. And Carol and I really liked that album. And so we were in Ireland. We didn't know what we were doing in Ireland. We just went on a hunch that it might be something for us to do. And about after 2 months or so, I remember sitting with Carol one day. I said, "Do you think we're just going to be tourists here all the time? We're going to ever find something to do?" And the phone rang. I mean, literally, right? And it was Sean Keane, the singer, and I heard I was around and was inquiring to see if I'd be interested in helping him make an album. And I said, "Well, what about Artie McGlynn?" He said, "Well, he's busy. He's producing an album with Liam O'Flynn, the piper." And at any rate, to make a long story short, Sean lived about 3 miles away from where we were. We were outside of Galway on the west coast. And he came over, and we started talking. And I said, "Well, what are you thinking of for songs?" And one of the songs he picked, sang for me a little bit of, was a song called "Killin' the Blues." And it was written by Roly Sally, who was in the Woodstock Mountains Review with me. And we used to play it every night. And I said, "Well, that's incredible." I said, "Where did you learn it?" He said, "Well, I learned it from Chris Smither," another old friend. At any rate, let's listen to this. And here's, you can hear what Artie McGlynn did with this.
Leaves are falling just like embers, in colors red and gold to set us on fire, burning just like moonbeams in our eyes. Somebody said they saw me, and I was swinging the world by the tail, bouncing over white clouds. I was killing the blues, just killing the blues. And I'm guilty of something that I hope you never do, 'cause nothing is sadder than losing yourself in love. Somebody said they saw me, and I was swinging the world by the tail, bouncing over white clouds. I was killing the blues, just killing the blues. Me just to leave you, and I set out on my own to find what I needed. You asked me to find what I already had. Somebody said they saw me, and I was swinging the world by the tail, bouncing over white clouds. I was killing the blues. Just killing the blues. Somebody said they saw me, and I was swinging the world by the tail, bouncing over white clouds. I was killing the blues, just killing the blues, just killing the blues.
There you go, Killing the Blues with Sean Kane and Artie McGlynn on the gut string guitar, not like Casey on the fiddle. And we were recording in a very small little studio in Galway in what they call an industrial estate. You know, there were used tire places around. It was pretty kind of a grotty area. But and we would only, it was a small place, so we had Sean and a wonderful bassist named James Splinter Hassett that Artie introduced me to, and Artie and myself playing guitars. And then we added the fiddle and the harmonica. But you just, even there, it's just the tone. That's a live performance on that guitar by Artie McGlynn. That's just the way it happened. And every note was right where it wanted to be. So I was talking to Sean, and a song came into my head that had been a hit here by Keith Whitley, No Stranger to the Rain, and it was written by a friend of mine, Sonny Curtis, who used to be in the Crickets with Buddy Holly. And one thing led to another, and I got Sonny to send me a copy of the song, and Sean learned it, and we went into the studio, Artie and me and Sean and James, and this is what happened.
I'm no stranger to the rain. I'm a friend of thunder. Friend, is it any wonder lightning strikes me? I fought with the devil, got down on his level, but never gave in, so he gave up on me. I'm no stranger to the rain. I can spot bad weather, and I'm good at finding shelter in a downpour. I've been sacrificed by brothers, crucified by lovers, but through it all, I withstood the pain. I'm no stranger to the rain. When I get that foggy feeling, the one I'm feeling now, if I don't keep my head, I may drown. It's hard to keep believing that I'd even come out even when the rain beats a hole in the ground. And tonight it's really coming down. I'm no stranger to the rain. Always be tomorrow, and I'll beg, steal, or borrow a little sunshine. I'll put this cloud behind me, that's how the man designed me, to ride the wind and dance in a hurricane. I'm no stranger to the rain. I'm no stranger to to the rain. I'm a friend of Tondon, friend that any wonder lightning strikes me. I'll put this cloud behind me, that's how the man designed me, to ride the wind and dance in the hurricane. I'm no stranger to the rain.
Yeah, let's go in there and knock it down, says Artie. And he knocked it down all right. And he put a beautiful Telecaster under there just to bubble along and give it that track a great little feel. We added the percussion later, and the drummer, Pat McInerney, had no problem with the time because it was right there. That was a big hit for Sean in Ireland. And did him a lot of good, as they say in Nashville. So eventually I got Artie and Nilly to come to Nashville and play with me on a recording. And here's an old ballad that I've done for years, but Artie kind of changed the chords just a little bit on me and played it in a down, drop D tuning and made it just sound great to me. This is called Lord Lovell.
Lord Lovell, he stood at his castle gate, combing his milk-white steed, when along came Lady Nancy Bell, wishing her lover good sleep. Oh, where are you going, Lord Lovell, she said. Where are you going, said she. Oh, I'm going, Lady Nancy Bell, strange countries far to see. When will you be back, Lord Lovell, she said. When will you be back, said she. In a year or two or three at the most, I'll return to my Lady Nancy. I'll return to my Lady Nancy. Well, it not been gone but a year and a day, strange countries far to see. When languishing thoughts come into his mind, Lady Nancy Bell he would see. Oh, he rode and he rode on his milk-white steed till he reached fair London town. And there he heard St. Barney, and the people all mourning around. Is anyone dead, Lord Lovell, he said. Is anyone dead, said he. A lady is dead, the people all said, and they call her the Lady Nancy. Oh, he ordered a grave to be opened forthwith, shroud to be folded down, and then he kissed her clay-cold lips while the tears come trickling down. Oh, the tears come trickling down. Lady Nancy, she died as it might be day. Lord Lovell, he died tomorrow. Lady Nancy, she died. Pure, pure grief. Lord Lovell, he died of sorrow. Oh, they buried Lady Nancy in the old churchyard. They buried Lord Lovell close by her. And out of her bosom there grew a red rose, and out of his backbone a bride. Well, they grew and they grew on the old church tower, till they could not grow up any higher. And there they twined in a true lover's knot, red rose around the bride. Yes, then they twined in a true lover's knot, red rose around the bride.
I love that version with Artie. He really played a beautiful solo on it as well, and putting it down in the drop D tuning really gave it the great feel. So we're running out of time here, friends. And we've been listening to my dear late departed friend Artie McGlynn on the guitar, his wife Nellie Casey as well. This is Jim Rooney. I'm still in it for the long run. Thanks for listening. And thanks to Royalton Community Radio for making all of this possible. We're Free Vermont Radio, WFVR-LP 96.5. RoyaltonRadio.org out in cyberspace. Come to our website if you'd like to join us as a member. We'd love to have you. We're all volunteers here, but it does cost a few dollars to get the pay for the songs and the music and the electronics, so we'd love your help. Thanks a million. Catch you next time. Here's Artie McGlynn and Nellie Casey playing Morin's Return.
Farewell to Artie McGlynn.